Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank and the 20K Good Business Giveaway. Submit a video explaining how your business does good by October 24th for a chance to win $20,000. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/business contest.
Can we be there?
And we are here. Don't have to think about it right here, right now. And
no,
I don't know if I'm ever going to forget that run from Isaiah Crowell, 77-yard touchdown. And I will remember that run and that game for a long time for all the wrong reasons. I'll remember who was involved in the play. I'll remember who lost contain. I'll remember who could not tackle, did not tackle, and
who slipped. All of the above.
Stoke, do plays like that happen if Wade Phillips is still on the Broncos sideline?
Ooh, just getting right to the punchline there.
The guy that we're going to see up close and personal this week.
Well, obviously that was a mistake. Let's just be, you know, right out the gates. And I think everybody can agree with that. Letting Wade walk was a big mistake for the Denver Broncos. They haven't been the same since. And that's just the bottom line. So you look at this defense, you look at the talent that they have, and they haven't come close to playing up to their level. And so to think that Wade Phillips wouldn't make a big difference is really, really foolish. He would. And that was a big mistake letting him walk. And they are paying the price for it. Would that play have happened? I it's hard to say.
Yeah, me trying to
boil it down to one play is not fair. What we're looking at and what we're seeing would be a lot better if Wade Phillips was the defensive coordinator. Okay? There's a reason why he's been so successful. There's a reason why everywhere he goes, he gets the most out of his players. And what we're seeing right now is not that at all. We're not seeing a defense get the most out of their talent or their players. Now, if this defense didn't have playmakers or good players over there, then I'd say, okay, Joe Woods doesn't have anything to work with. Kind of like the offense for the Broncos last year. Wasn't much to work with. But he does have a lot to work with. With much that is given, much is expected.
Yeah, that's the quote. Yeah.
Pretty close anyway.
Pretty
right?
close.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone
knows
what you mean.
Okay, good. I know I didn't stick the landing on that one, but you get it, right? And that's what I'm talking about with this defense. You have a lot. You got to go out there and perform at a higher level, and you got to be more consistent. And I believe, and I think most people would agree, that if Wade Phillips was here, it would be a lot different. And that was a big mistake, letting Wade walk. And now you're paying the price for that.
This is a really simple and straightforward question, but the answer, I'm sure, is a lot more difficult. Why isn't Wade here?
I mean, only a few people know the answer to that. Was it egos involved? Was it money? What was the situation there? His contract was up and they just let him walk. And that's usually not the case when you look at what he was able to accomplish with that defense in 2015, the great run that they went on. Usually you extend those guys, you take care of them, and you put years on top of their contract. So if he had 1 year left, 2016 was going to be his last year, you say, okay, well, let's get this deal done, Wade.
Sure.
You've been great to us. Let's make this work. Obviously, that didn't happen. I don't know why it didn't happen. I mean, I can just only speculate and guess. Money, egos. I mean, that's usually what it is in these types of situations.
So true.
And for whatever reason, it didn't work out. And we're sitting here today, and Joe Woods hasn't been good enough. This defense hasn't performed at a high enough level. It's a performance-based business.
Definition of it.
Either you get it done or you don't. They're not getting it done, and he's the head of that unit. It hasn't been good enough. He hasn't been good enough. It needs to be better.
Of everything that's happened since Gary Kubiak's retirement, Stoke, in your mind, was letting Wade Phillips leave right at the top of the list of everything that's gone wrong, where does that stack up in your own mind?
It's up there. You know, I don't think it's at the top of the list. The top of the list is not being able to find a quarterback, missing on a lot of draft picks until this year, which I think you've had a great draft this year. It's got a chance to be, we'll see how Bradley Chubb turns out. He hasn't done a lot this year, but look, Von Miller didn't do, you know, a whole lot his rookie year. I think he did have double-digit sacks, but, you know, he was benched in certain situations early on in his career. So, you know, I'm not ready to say Bradley Chubb's not going to be that dominant player that a lot of people thought he would be. Obviously, you would like to see more out of him. But this draft class is going to be really good. They got some really good players.
It looks like it.
Right.
Well, they need it. I mean,
but the previous drafts, you know, you can put that up there with why we're looking at what we're looking at. You can put the lack of a quarterback, finding that quarterback, missing on draft picks, no Wade Phillips.
And potentially not finding the right coach.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Which a lot of people would be, yes, you know, we haven't found that guy. I mean, 5-11 last year, you're 2-3, three-game losing streak this year. So,
it's not looking good.
That speaks for itself.
Yeah. And really the...
And you have the talent there, and don't want to cut you off here, but you have the talent this year. Last year, I looked at that football team, and after the year, we talked about it. Look, man, wow. Like, what did we expect too much from this team?
I know I did.
I did, too. But when you take a step back and you look at what they were working with and what they had offensively, we expected too much. But this year is totally different. This year is totally different. This offense is different. There's playmakers on this offense. So they have a real, this coaching staff has a real opportunity to be successful. So it's different than last year. When I can give a lot of them a pass last year by looking at, you know, DT and his injury history and what he had, what he was dealing with, and Emmanuel Sanders, what he was dealing with this year, he's healthy. He's playing at another level. You got Cortland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton. You know, it's a shame Jake Butt's not around. But then you got the two-headed monster of Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman that, you know, are special. Look, I mean, everything we thought and then more. So you have the pieces this year as a coaching staff to perform better and win football games.
And a part of the reason that makes this conversation about Wade Phillips and the fact that the Broncos essentially let him leave is that what we're looking at now is such a far cry from what we were looking at even 2 years ago with a lot of the same cast. Now, I know things have changed here. I know that. There's no more Aqib. There's no more DeMarcus.
That's the NFL.
No more Danny Trevino. Yeah.
That's right. The NFL. Yep. You got to burn and turn. You got to be able to turn your roster over, and you got to say, hey, Brendan Langley, you're going to be our starter this year.
That's
hey,
right.
Bradley Roby, you're going to be, you know, the starter. Brendan Langley, you're going to be the third guy. And those guys have to perform at a certain level. And if they don't, now you see what you've been seeing because you've missed on these guys. Because good football teams are going to get their talent plucked from them year after year. So you got to be able to replenish that, and you got to do well in the draft and in free agency.
Well, that last part has really been such a strong suit, free agency, for John Elway. But right now, his greatest strength is currently hurting this team this season. And I'll tell you exactly why next.
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 and a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit eFirstBank.com/business contest for more details.
Is John Elway's greatest strength hurting this football team?
You like how Steven did that?
This season.
California.
Because Los Angeles?
Yeah. Just wanted to catch you up here.
Appreciate it. That's a timeless beat right there. Turn that back up, Steven. That is timeless.
Oh, yeah.
Steven's the best at this. Look at you. Saving your own glosses. I like it. I like it. Is John Elway's current strength hurting this team? And what I mean by that is, really where John has been able to excel in the past is acquiring new talent outside of the NFL draft. We know the struggles of the draft. They're real. It's a real thing. And we're going to talk about that at 1 o'clock in terms of John Elway's first-round picks within the context of 2018. It's a segment that you really need to hear. But John has been able to survive, and not only survive, you could say, you know, in terms of a couple of years ago and the success that they had, to thrive at the highest level with being able to reach outside of the draft and acquire talent. But you look at the moves that were made this offseason and the plan that Elway had to augment this football team. Pac-Man Jones is hurt. Tremaine Brock is hurt. Marquette King.
He gone.
Gone. Clinton McDonald. Cut. Jared Valdir. Hurt. Suah Cravens. Hurt. It really has not bared the fruit that you would hope, and really doesn't look like the moves of the past that have really, you know, got glowing remarks.
Well, who's the headliner of that group?
Case Keenum.
Yeah. You know, you needed him to be a success and to build off of last year and to be that quarterback that you've been looking for, because if he works out, all those other pieces are just kind of like whatever. You know, when you find your quarterback, it doesn't matter if you gave up two first-round picks for him, Kansas City Chiefs, L.A. Rams. Did anybody talk about what Rams and Eagles and Chiefs gave up for those guys? It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. So if he works out, a lot of this other stuff is water under the bridge because he'll make up for it. But he's not working out. And so that's the one that hurts the most. And you look at these other guys, you know, Pac-Man Jones, he was a late addition. I mean, obviously, they're hoping he would come in and contribute a little bit, but he's been off and on hurt with these muscle pulls. And that's what happens when you get to a certain age. Look, I was there. Just couldn't stay healthy. Get healthy, you pull something else. That gets healthy, something else goes. Tremaine Brock, same thing. But that was his history last year. He couldn't stay healthy. Played in like three games. Jared Valdir, an older player. You know, that's what you get yourself in. You got to gamble in free agency with some older guys and some guys that you're hoping that, man, we strike gold here. And you don't. And then you pay the price for it when, you know, they can't stay healthy or they don't perform at the level they were performing at the year before because now they're done. But you have to try to make up for your mistakes from previous years. You know, sooner or later, you got to pay the piper. And you're hoping to, you know, draw that thing out for a little bit longer. Can I get an extension on that thing by hitting on a Jared Valdir? So now we can get an extension on the misses of the Stevenson and Menelik Watson, right?
That's right.
Tremaine Brock and Pac-Man Jones. Let's get that extension on Brendan Langley and there's probably some other DBs that we missed on. Anybody? No? Just him? Just Langley? Okay, let's get an extension on that third round pick, Langley. So, you know, these are the you're trying to cover up for your mistakes, and you know, they're not top-tier players. They have some dings on them. That's why you're able to get them at the prices that you're getting them, and that's why, you know, Arizona, why do you think they traded Jared Valdir? Yeah, he had a high cap number, but they think he's probably on his way down. You know, maybe he's got a year left, maybe he doesn't, but they're ready to move on from him.
Are these moves desperate attempts? Pac-Man Jones, Tremaine Brock, Clinton McDonald, Jared Valdir, even Suah Cravens, are they desperate attempts? Because it kind of feels like it. And, you know, I don't know the further removed from a situation or a move, sometimes it can bring more clarity. Which is why at the end of last season, you and I said, man, when you actually look at everything that went down, it was very naive of us to think that the Broncos were going to legitimately compete at a high level. And we kind of fooled ourselves. The further we get away from these moves and you actually let the smoke settle, it sort of feels the same way. That you brought in Pac-Man Jones and I know it was a late addition, but he's a 35-year-old cornerback who missed most of last season with an injury. Tremaine Brock, you know, well into his 30s and has been banged up and is just, again, playing that position. Clinton McDonald, Jared Valdir. It just, you know, when you look back and say, man, that was the plan?
Well, you know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. And I think the situation they're in right now, unfortunately, a lot of these signings haven't worked out. You know, you play with fire a little bit, and sometimes you get burnt, and sometimes you don't. You know, when I was here in 2012 with the Broncos, we signed Jimmy Leonard. And, you know, during the season, he had a bad injury, I think knee or something, and he ended up working out for us and playing a nice role for us. We signed Keith Brookings, linebacker. He was an older guy. You know, it was his last year that he played, and he got hurt in training camp, but he got healthy and ended up playing a good role for us defensively. So it worked out. So sometimes these signings work out. Sometimes they don't. And you hope that they don't all not work out in one year like this is happening, especially when you're in the Broncos situation where you need them to work out. They have to work out for you to be successful because you don't have anybody else. Who's our cornerbacks? Zach, I mean, we got Bradley Roby and Chris Harris. And Bradley Roby, yeah, he's not playing very well right now. I understand that. So you have those two. But then after that, who do you have? Who is it?
It's supposed to be Brandon Langley.
Right. I mean, and then it's supposed to be Tremaine Brock and Pac-Man Jones, but they're all hurt. So now Isaac Yiadom, hey, welcome to the NFL. Go out there and keep our fingers crossed on him. And then you throw on top of that, you know, first-round pick, Bradley Roby's playing awful.
Was that the worst game you saw Roby play as a Bronco?
By far. He had a bad one, I think it was last year against
Oakland.
The Saints.
Oh, it was
maybe Oakland, too, but I remember the
After
Saints
Tlaib
game.
After Tlaib got tossed, I think he struggled.
Probably so. I know Langley struggled in that game, and that was his last appearance. But Roby had, you know, I think the Bengals game also. So he had a couple last year. But he always seemed to bounce back from those games. So that's what I'm looking for this week. Will he bounce back? Or will this be a downward spiral for Bradley Roby? But you look at, you know, these misses and these guys that aren't working out. I mean, it puts you in a tough spot defensively when it's a passing league and – you might only have three healthy cornerbacks.
You may only have three healthy cornerbacks. And one we know for sure can play at a high level.
And yeah, the other two, one's a rookie and the other one's really struggling right now. I'd throw underneath on him all day.
Mm.
You know, I'm playing against them and they're not going to give him help. What do you do if you're Joe Woods? You know, some of this comes back to Joe Woods and company. What are you going to do to help him out? You can't just leave him out there on an island all the time now with his confident shot. But I'm throwing underneath on him, you know, if I'm the Rams. Because guess what? You think he wants to get beat deep again?
That's probably the last thing that he's...
Right. You got to put yourself in his situation. He's like, okay,
right.
Forget that. I'll give up 10 yards, 15 yards all the way down the field, but I'm not giving up a 70-yard touchdown.
Right.
I'm not giving up a 50-yard touchdown. Okay, that's their mindset. That's embarrassing to those guys, right? Anything but a bomb over their head. Because guess what? Those comebacks for 15, 20 yards, they don't make SportsCenter.
That's right.
Right? We don't talk about those. You talk about the 70-yard touchdowns, though. Those make SportsCenter. Those are embarrassing.
Mm.
You like my swag today?
Yeah, you are something. You are something.
Dripping swag.
Stokely
Me
has,
and Tlaib.
Stokely has a Red Sox jersey on. The top two buttons are undone, so his chest is hanging out, and on said chest is a gold chain
that says gold, baby.
Number 14.
Got that 1-4, rocking that old school.
His body for pure silk.
Are you kidding? You look like Dion.
Woo! Me in prime time, baby.
Oh my God.
Bringing it back.
Is there a picture out there yet?
Yeah, I think it's out on Twitter.
Is it?
Yeah, I think we did the video. Shout out at Nikki because she's a big Yankees
fan.
But
I think we just sent that straight to Nikki.
I retweeted it.
Oh, did you? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's out there. I believe.
Stoke and I are both on Twitter. You follow us at BStokely14 at Byzline. You are something. You really are.
Hey, and don't tell. And remember what I told you about my two boys?
Yes, they're
bragging
Yankee
rights.
Fans.
Bragging rights, baby. I was so fired up last night because my oldest can't run his mouth anymore. He always runs his mouth like, who made it farther last year? You know, who went further last year? This and that. So It was a great night for me. I regained my dominance in my household. Good night. Because, you know, my Dukies lost to Kansas, and my son's a Kansas fan, so I hear about that all the time. But now I got the Red Sox.
Look at you. And the video is out there. So funny. Oh, my goodness. All right. Two things. One, you had a statement about Bradley Roby that I am going to give you some real pushback on. But first, should one of your, you Stokely, former coaches be in consideration should John Elway move on from Vance? I want to bounce that off you when we come back. Stoke. Could one of your former coaches be in consideration of replacing Vance Joseph should John Elway want to move on from Vance? This is an idea that's been floated around town. I heard Schlereth and Evans talking about it yesterday morning. This is what it sounded like.
I love Mike Shanahan.
Right.
Mike Shanahan should still be coaching the NFL. Mike Shanahan is too sharp of a football mind still to not be coaching the NFL. But you are crazy if you think that it would work here. There's no way. Mike Shanahan walks into that building. He is the boss. They already got a boss.
Wow. I love stinks noises that he makes. We got to have that as a drop, by the way. That's too good. What do you think? Is this, you know, first of all, Vance Joseph's still the head coach of this football team. Until John Elway makes a move, Vance Joseph's still the head coach.
Yeah.
But to spin it forward and look into the future a little bit, is this a pie in the sky, or is this something that could come to fruition?
Well, you know, John and Mike have a relationship. They've had a lot of success together. And you look at the situation of the Denver Broncos right now and the predicament that they're in. Where is this thing heading? Is this thing going to get worse here? You know, the next 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks? What happened the last time this thing got really bad?
They couldn't get it back on the tracks.
Yeah, and people stopped showing up to the game. And you had 30,000 no-shows. And who did they hire?
Mike Shanahan.
They hired John Elway. You were wrong.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You're not following that.
No, I'm not.
Let me just answer the questions.
I'm sorry. You're saying when Josh McDaniels was the head coach.
Yes.
And
2000 and what, 10?
Started 6-0. Was that the season?
That was the season before.
Okay.
Let me take care of this.
Okay.
You just sit back and relax. I'll ask the questions and I'll answer. Get yourself some coffee and relax. Put your feet up.
I'm going to lay out.
I'll take the rest of the segment.
Let me know. Let me know when you need me.
Okay.
I'll be right here.
I appreciate you, buddy. So 2010, when things got really bad, people stopped showing up to the games. They made a move from Josh McDaniels. Who did they bring in to kind of get this thing back on track? I'll answer. No.
John Elway.
Okay, go ahead. Got to make you feel better. Get your confidence back.
That's right.
John Elway was the answer then, right? And it worked. They got things back on track. They got people back involved, right? You want Broncos country to stay involved and to think that, you know what, we got somebody here to help fix this problem. And that was John Elway then. Well, things have changed a little bit. And if things start going like they did in 2010, which is a real possibility, you've lost 3 in a row.
Sure.
You got the Rams coming to town. And this thing could get sideways quickly and people stop showing up. Who can you hire now to get the attention of Broncos country and get them back re-energized and rejuvenated? The top of that list is the one and the only Mike Shanahan. So, you know, can it all work out? That's the question, you know, I think Evans was kind of asking, you know, can that work out between Elway, because he's the boss, and Mike, you know, when he's running the show, you know, he's the man. Can they coexist together? I think if things get bad, you know, and you know, I don't know if does Mike want to get back into coaching? I don't know.
Say he does.
Well, you know what? How many other opportunities is he going to get around the league? Probably not many.
You don't think?
No. Well, he's been on the league now for a while. So I'm talking about Mike's, you know, he hasn't had a lot of interest out there. Okay, so I'm looking at it, and I'm saying how many real opportunities, and then to come back to the Denver Broncos, and you look at it from a John situation saying, well, you know, things have gotten bad. Let's figure this thing out. Mike's the best guy to get this thing back going again. I need him. He needs me. Let's make this thing work, Mike. You know, it could be a perfect pairing. It could work out. Now, I don't know if that's a real possibility or not. I think it would be something good, and if things get really bad, you might have, you know, the solution right here in your backyard. To get this thing and to get Broncos country back re-energized. And look, Mike don't play. So you need a leader of men. You need a leader of this football team. You know, John wants a leader of this football team. And maybe Mike doesn't want to mess with all that other stuff anymore. You know, Mike was kind of, when Mike was in charge, Mike was the man. He did everything.
He wants the control.
Yeah, he had everything.
Sure.
And, you know, if him and John are on the same page, maybe Mike's just now, you know, I don't want to mess with all that stuff. John, you handle that. I don't want to coach this football team. I want to be the coach. Okay, and maybe they coexist like that, and maybe it works out, you know, best for both parties and for the Broncos. But who else? That's the other question. Who else could you go out and get if things get really bad to get Broncos country back invested in this football team?
I have two names.
Okay, you got names.
Well,
on your little vacation in the last 5 minutes, you came up with a couple names. Well, Good job.
I had time to think.
That's why you're good at what you do.
Jim Harbaugh.
Oh.
David Shaw.
I think two good names.
I think both of those names. And here's the other thing, Stoke. You see which way the league is going, and or Lincoln Riley. You know, just to throw another one out there, you see the way that the league is going, and I wouldn't be surprised if they dip into the college pool. That's just something to think about.
Yeah,
that's
about. Those are good names. Those are good names. David Shaw. I was with David Shaw for a year with the Baltimore Ravens. He was my wide receiver coach. We saw him this year at the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
Got the chance to run into him and talk with him for a few minutes. You know, does he want to leave Stanford and what he has there? He's built a great thing there. And they've had a lot of success. So is he ready to take that next step or not? I think he's got a good thing going at Stanford, but you never know if somebody wants to take that next leap.
Yeah. And he's brought Stanford right to the cusp of where you can probably bring Stanford. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying they can't go win a national title, but are they going to out-recruit Alabama and Ohio State? Probably not. He's probably maxed them out. I think Jim Harbaugh is another interesting name. Jim Schwartz is an interesting name. And there's other interesting names out there. But
nobody can galvanize this place and this city and this town and Broncos country like Mike Shanahan.
So that was right,
and it's not even close.
I was going to say John Elway.
You know, sorry, I keep cutting.
No. I was just about to say you just stole that sentence from my mouth. It was coming out because those other names are great and they'll move the needle. But specific and unique to this community, you've seen him do it. You've seen him do it. He's done it. You know, and as far as what Mike Shanahan would want, I don't know if Mike Shanahan would be interested coaching any other team than the Denver Broncos.
That's very true.
He wouldn't have to move.
You're exactly right. You know, and, you know, we had Mike on last year, and I kind of asked him about not being the coach, but being like maybe a consultant role for the Broncos, if that interested him at all. And he said at the time, no, it didn't. But, you know, if it did, would he tell me yes? I would love to get back into it with the Broncos. Probably not. So, yeah, you're right. If he wants to get back into it, maybe he has had other offers. I know he was interviewing with the Raiders a few years back. So maybe he's had other opportunities and doesn't want to do it. But if it's the Denver Broncos, maybe he would be interested in, you know, reuniting with John Elway and being back with the Denver Broncos. But obviously, if things start going bad here, who else can you bring in to get things back on track like you did in 2010 with John Elway?
And here's what else I'll add. And this is just, you know, speculation here, obviously. But John has had a run here where he is the dominant hand in the room. Okay? A year ago, I called Vance Joseph the least empowered coach in pro football. John, it's unequivocal. Nothing would get lost in interpretation with who's truly in charge. It's John. Okay? But recently, that hasn't worked. It hasn't worked. It was a 5-11 football team a year ago, and we're currently on a 3-game skid, okay? So maybe he would be receptive and open to giving some of that back. That, you know what, I can't be the president and the GM and controlling the football team almost as a pseudo shadow coach.
How about this? Maybe it's Elway, Kubiak, Shanahan.
I mean,
so Elway is, you know, whatever. I don't know.
The president, the
vice
football,
president or whatever it is. Yeah. Vice president or whatever.
Yeah.
And then Kubiak's the GM, and then Mike Shanahan's the head coach, and then Stokely's down there somewhere, you know, doing something.
Get the whole band back together.
Yeah, why not? Throw me in there.
Reunion,
who's that guy?
Reunion tour.
That's me. You don't remember me?
Reunion tour. We'll sell it out.
That's it.
Tell you what.
The boys are back in town.
Yes.
I mean, you talk about, you know, getting this place back, like, energized. Elway, Kubiak's got a larger role now. He's going to be running the operations as GM, and then Mike Shanahan's going to be our head coach. I mean, look, who knows? If things get really bad, you know, you can say that, you know, people can't coexist, but all of a sudden, you know, time heals people's differences and wounds and, you know, whatever maybe was going on. I don't know if anything was or not, but you hear rumblings.
Sure.
You know, can Mike and John get along? You know, does Joe and can they all get along and coexist? And if things get really bad, people all of a sudden forget about hard feelings and say,
right,
we need to do what's best for the Denver Broncos. And what's best for the Denver Broncos is having, you know, Mike Shanahan as the head coach. So
there's worse ideas out there. I'll tell you that.
1,000%. And, you know, usually you do something different than the time before when you hire a head coach.
When it goes that wrong and that bad?
Yes. So what did you do? You know, you hired the new whippersnapper, Josh McDaniels, right? The young first-time head coach. And, you know, after you had Mike Shanahan for as long as you did. So you went with the young guy, the innovator, you know, this young up-and-coming genius, right? And it didn't work out. It failed miserably, okay?
And then how'd you respond?
What did you do when you fired him? You hired the seasoned veteran Johnny Fox, right? You hired Foxy, okay? And then when you let go of Foxy, okay, you piggybacked that with Gary Kubiak. And then once Kubiak was gone, you went with the...
But and just in response to that, when you moved on from Foxy, it wasn't a dire straits as after the McDaniel situation.
Exactly. You had just went to the Super Bowl and, you know, you went to the playoffs, and so you were a good football team. So it wasn't like, you're exactly right. And you piggyback that with going with a veteran coach in Gary Kubiak, who you were buddies with. You know, you liked him. You liked the way he coached, and he became available. It was a perfect situation. But then when he moved on, what'd you do? You went with the first-time head coach in Vance Joseph. So if that doesn't work out, what will you do? You're not going to go with another first-timer. So that crosses off David Shaw. You're going to go with more of a veteran, seasoned coach. That's usually what happens. You go different than the time before. And there's no more veteran, seasoned coach than Mike Shanahan.
And you said it, you know, 25 minutes ago. You said you want a leader of men. You wouldn't have to second guess that. Because I'll tell you what, and Mike Evans said it in our clip. If he walks in the door, everyone knows what time it is. When Vance Joseph walks in the door, I don't know whose clocks are set to what.
There's no...
And can I say one other thing here?
Yeah, we got time.
If you're a leader of men, okay, and that was the number one sort of bullet point why you were hired, guys will follow you. After 5 weeks, do you really have to go up in front of the room and say, I'm open to suggestions, like he did on Monday? If you're a leader of men, is that something that you would do? Or is it, you know what, here's what we're going to freaking do, and you guys are going to follow me. And if you don't, I'm sitting you down.
You're exactly right. Look, I've been in meeting rooms with Mike, and look, he don't play. So if you're looking for somebody that doesn't matter who you are, if you're not performing, if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're going to get called out.
Yeah.
You know, Matt Lepsis? Called out, starting left tackle. Called out in the meeting. Brandon Marshall, wide receiver. Called out in the meeting in front of everybody. So, you know, Mike don't play. And, you know, do the Broncos need somebody like that?
Yes, they do.
And do they need somebody, you know, John, Look, put yourself in Elway's shoes. You want to hire somebody that you know, that you have a relationship with, right? Who did he hire? Gary Kubiak. He has a relationship. He knows Gary Kubiak. They had success, okay? So if you're the boss, wouldn't you rather hire somebody that you really know? And John and Mike, I don't know what the relationship is like now, but you know they had a really close-knit relationship back in the day when they had so much success. John knows Mike better than anybody when it comes to football.
Right.
You know how much time they spent together talking ball and Mike coaching him and how much success they had together? So if anybody knows Mike Shanahan, what he's all about, it's John Elway. So if you're having to hire another head coach, you want to hire somebody that you know, right, and that you know inside and out. Not that you hear from, you know, somebody, hey, this guy's a good coach, or, you know, let's go look at this guy, or you have a search committee and they give you five names or whatever it is, and, you know, you interview these guys and you spend a little time with them and you don't really know them. You don't know what you're getting. But if you've been with a guy for as long as Mike and John have been together, you know what you're getting. And so that makes the hire a lot easier. And then it takes some pressure off of John Elway.
Interesting.
You got a big name there. You got another big name. And then you can put Gary Kubiak in that GM role or whatever. And then you got Mike Shanahan's name. So that takes some of the heat off of John Elway in this type of situation.
Very, very interesting.
I mean, the more we talk about it, the more I think it makes sense. Now, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like Pacquiao-Mayweather. It makes sense for both parties. Why did it take so long? You know, everybody's going to make a lot of money. Why did it take, you know, 5 years longer than what it should have? Conor McGregor, Mayweather, same thing. You know, that thing made sense, and it seemed like it took 2 years longer than what it should have. I mean, everybody's going to make a lot of money. Everybody's going to be successful, but for some reason, it just didn't happen when it should have happened. So, you know, you have these types of situations where the more I talk about it, the more it makes sense. But at the same time, it's like, can you make it happen? Will it really happen? But if things get bad and things got going worse...
No, I think everything's on the table.
You're exactly right. Everything is on the table, right? You think John Elway likes to lose? You think he wants to get embarrassed?
I'll tell you what.
You think he liked what he saw last week? You think he liked what he went through last year, 5-11? That's his record too. You know, it's not just Vance Joseph. It's John Elway is on that.
Hell yeah!
So he doesn't like to be part of that. Who does? And, you know, whatever differences, if there was any differences between Mike and the organization, you know, if you sit back for a while, you know, you got grandkids, you got your son coaching over there. There's nothing. Let me tell you, when you've been in the business and you've done it for and as successful as Mike Shanahan, there's nothing like going out there and preparing for football. It never leaves you. You look at John Gruden. Yeah, he had a cush job. Could have done that thing for the next 30 years. Yeah, he made a lot of money, but there's something to it. It's in your blood.
And I heard Stink yesterday morning saying, like, Mike Shanahan doesn't watch movies. Mike Shanahan doesn't watch reality TV. Mike Shanahan watches film.
He watches ball.
He watches ball. That's what he does.
I met with Mike this year. We watched ball together. 2 days. Watched ball together.
That's awesome.
Okay?
Invite me.
That's what he does. You know, he's still involved. Obviously, his son's a coach.
Yeah.
Okay? But he loves football. It's never going to leave him. It's not like he's away from the game. He's continued to watch ball. He's continued to be around the game and study the game. Okay, so it's not like it's over his head and, you know, well, Mike coached 10 years ago or 7 years ago, whatever. The game's changed a lot. No, not for him because he stayed involved and he studies it and he's around it all the time. So, you know, and sometimes, yeah, you know, it's fun being retired for a little bit, but it never leaves you. The juices start flowing. You start thinking about preparing and putting everything you have in that week, and you go out there and you try to execute it and you try to win it. And then whether you win or lose, you know, you win, you feel great. You lose, you feel awful. But those feelings you can't get doing anything else, you know, by going to watch your son's teams play. It's not the same. You know, I get that feeling now. And shoot, I'm just a high school coach, coaching receivers, but I love it. Right? Either win or you lose.
Right.
When else do you get that in life? I leave the radio station. I always feel like I win. Dominated today. You know? I never lost. King Soopers pick him. I mean, it's win. I mean, it's not even fun anymore.
Right.
But you go out there and you prepare and you work and you grind, you put hours in, and then you're out there for Sunday 3 hours, and either it's a win or it's a loss. You either feel great or you feel awful. And you can't replace those feelings. You know, awful is awful. But I still like that feeling. Like when I lose a football game and I couldn't sleep at night and get home and tossing and turning all night, or if I win a game and I couldn't sleep at night and you're up to 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning thinking about all the great plays, like, I don't get that anymore.
Yeah. That's a fire.
That's something different.
Yeah.
So you can't replace that in anything that you do in life. And when you've been out a while, and a guy like Mike who's competitive is all competitiveness, you know, I mean, he has it. He wants it. You know, will this be something that he has interest in, or is he completely done? Who knows? I don't know. But I think, you know, in the Broncos situation and where things are heading, if they continue to spiral out of control, you know, he's the one name that can galvanate, bring this thing back together.
Galvanize.
Bring it back together. Did y'all hear that? I didn't think everybody heard that. The galva. Bring it back together. Galvanize this community and Broncos country and have them forgetting about, you know, a disaster that was this year and the disaster that was the year before, and focusing on the future and what the plans are. And it's Mike Shanahan and it's John Elway and it's Gary Kubiak and it's it's just those three. Right? And so those are the names that can do it. And Mike is like the new, fresh name that could do that for this community and this team and this organization.
Really interesting conversation. And I think it's one that will catch even more traction should things continue to lose traction with the Broncos. Wow. Really fascinating conversation.
Yeah, it is. We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, you know, I'm hoping we don't have to worry about that. I'm hoping they go out there this week and get a W, and then get a W next week. And next thing you know, you're 4-3 and you look like a completely different football team. It can happen quickly. But the way things are looking, you know, we could be getting deeper and deeper in this conversation in 4 or 5 weeks.
And Vance Joseph and the Broncos can silence all that if they go out and stun the Rams. You know, we won't be having this conversation Wednesday next week. You go out and stun the Rams. All right. We are going to go live to Dove Valley in about a half hour. I want to make you guys aware of that, because this is a very interesting press conference that's about to happen with Vance Joseph at 1:30. We'll carry it live here. But first, you said something about Bradley Roby that made me kind of stop right in my tracks, and I want to challenge you on it next.
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 and a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit eFirstBank.com/businesscontest for more details.